The state of the city has gone to pot. That is my theme today.
Marijuana legalization and how and whether to allow a cannabis industry has dominated discussion at the Ketchikan City Council level for quite some time. That part of the debate appears resolved after the council voted in late January against a moratorium on retail pot. Mayor Williams had favored the temporary ban, but says he still gets along with people who disagreed with him on that topic, such as Spencer Strasberg, a local business owner who led the charge to allow a retail marijuana industry.
In fact, me and Spencer spent last night doing a little baking, and we have some special brownies for you today. Spencer, can you hand these out to everybody who wants to have one of our Spencer brownies?
Williams quickly clarified that they were not pot brownies. The brownies did have a leafy substance baked in, but Williams later said it was tea leaves, and they were actually made by a local downtown bakery. Williams says he's been doing some research since the council's decision to allow retail pot, and says the zoning buffers alone will challenge anyone who wants to open a cannabis business inside city limits.
I really don't worry about the sales in the city. There's really not a lot of places you can sell.
Downtown is pretty much a wash. There's a possible location on Berth 4, which is close to downtown. Williams says there's also some opportunity near the canneries on Stedman Street. Beyond that, Williams says retail marijuana in city limits is possible in the Alaska Marine Lines area, near the airport terminal, and around Walmart. Many of the restrictive buffer zones are due to the population density within the city, along with all the churches, schools, and youth recreational facilities. Outside of city limits, the opportunities are greater because the population is more spread out. But Williams says the cost of creating a fledgling pot industry is going to be an even bigger barrier than zoning.
Each one of these, like if you're a cultivator, a manufacturer, and a retailer, you know, they all have to have security. They all have to have product tracking. So any plant, I think, 8 inches or higher has to be tagged and tracked. And that's even to, you know, put it in your truck and driving it to the store. So as I went through here and kept looking, I just saw, wow, the cost of this is going to be unreal.
Williams says establishing a potency testing facility has been estimated to cost at least $500,000 in startup funds. That's equipment, facility, and personnel costs. The regulations require that testing be conducted by someone with a degree and field experience.
And I can see Anchorage, you know, somebody up there, Fairbanks, you know, taking that in and being able to accomplish that. But for each little community, I find that's going to be a stretch.
But it's possible Ketchikan won't need its own testing facility. Cynthia Franklin, director of the state's Marijuana Control Board, recently told KFSK Radio in Petersburg that she believes licensed pot businesses in small rural communities will be able to transport product by air or boat to testing facilities in larger Alaska cities. Franklin told KFSK that a memo from the U.S. Attorney General's office to states that have legalized marijuana indicates that federal law enforcement will focus on keeping pot away from kids and keeping pot within the borders of those states, rather than on transportation of marijuana within those states. Williams told the chamber that there is an option if transporting marijuana for testing becomes a problem.
Nothing in AAC 306.200 precludes local government from applying for a marijuana establishment license under the provision of this chapter.
That option has been discussed previously, but so far no city official has brought forward a proposal to that effect. No matter what, though, Williams says,
I see a industry here that is going to be very slow getting started. If it does, I'm betting by next year at this time, there might be a license, somebody might have applied for a license, but I don't think anybody's going to be selling pot.
At least, he says, not in the near future. Williams addressed some other issues during his presentation. He says Ketchikan's economy has been relatively flat for the past few years, which has been a challenge to residents and local government. Williams says the upcoming cruise season looks promising, but he'd like to see oil prices go up, not just for the sake of the state's oil tax revenue, but also because Ketchikan sales tax income relies heavily on fuel prices. Williams briefly addressed the ongoing effort by the city to find a buyer for Ketchikan Public Utilities Telecommunications Division. He says there was some interest, but the only real offer so far has been from GCI. He says the council didn't want to let that company have a monopoly in the community. There is another potential offer in the works, and Williams says the city won't keep residents in the dark if it appears to be a viable proposal.
I've had people say, well, what's the process? Well, the process, you know, the community voted to have the council be able to make a decision on it, so we wouldn't have to go to a vote again. But the process would be so open and so involved with the community because it is a community asset.
In the meantime, KPU Telecommunications is still working toward adding cellular service to its product line that was supposed to be available at the start of this year, but Williams says it likely won't be offered until July. When KPU does offer cell service, it will be through Verizon. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.